The old Kelder must have known about this, thought Tiffany. So she must have thought I'd be able to deal with it. There must be a way round it. She stared at the thorn trees for a moment. Then she slid back down the hole. The pixies were waiting nervously.
Rob anybody, she said. I accept you.
Rob anybody's face became a mask of terror.
Now I have to name the day, said Tiffany. Don't I?
I, quavered Rob anybody. That's the tradition, right enough.
Tiffany took a deep breath.
At the end of the world is a great big mountain of granite rock a mile high, and every year a tiny bird flies all the way to the rock and wipes its beak on it. Well, when the little bird has worn the mountain down to the size of a grain of sand, that's the day I'll marry you, Rob Anybody Feagle.
Very slowly, Rob Anybody started to grin.
Aye, it doesna do to rush these things.
He drew his sword and waved it in the air.
No, some of us have got a wee laddie to steal back for the Queen. Who's coming with me?
Hundreds of swords and battle axes were thrust into the air, and the war cry of the Nec-Mac-Feagle echoed around the chamber.
Let's go! Cried Rob Anybody.
As one Feagle, the pixies swarmed down the galleries and across the floor and up the slope to the hole. In a few seconds, the chamber was empty. Tiffany pulled herself out of the hole and found the toad waiting for her. She grabbed him and put him in her apron pocket. Then she headed for the mounds and stones. When she was among them, she wandered around the trilithons, which looked a bit like huge stone doorways. A bubbling feeling in her ear suggested that someone was playing the mouse pipes. She looked around and saw William the Gonagall standing on a fallen stone. She waved at him.
Can you see the way to the Queen's land?
William took the pipe out of his mouth.
Oh, aye.
Well, would you care to tell me?
I dunna need to tell a Kelder, said William. A Kelder would see the clear way herself. You'll find the way if you take your time. Use your eyes, use your head.
He put the pipe back in his mouth and made Tiffany's ears bubble again. She looked in the apron pocket.
What about you, Toad?
You're on your own, I'm afraid. Whoever I used to be before being magicked into a toad, I didn't know much about finding invisible doors.
Tiffany was aware that the Nec-Mac-Feagle were turning up. Oh no, she thought. They think I know what to do. She put the toad back in her pocket. And then, out of the corner of her eye, she saw the red teddy bear. Tiffany knew what it was. Wentworth loved the teddy bear sweets. They tasted like glue mixed with sugar and were made of 100% artificial additives.
Ah, she said. My brother was certainly brought here.
This caused a stir. She walked forward, keeping an eye on the ground. And there was another teddy bear sweet, green this time and quite hard to see against the turf. A little way away was one of the three stone arches, two big stones with another one laid across the top of them. She'd walked through it before and nothing had happened.
But nothing should happen, she thought. You can't leave a doorway into your world that anyone can wander in and out of by accident. You'd have to know it was there. Perhaps that's the only way it would work. Fine, then I'll believe that this is the entrance.
She stepped through. Everything seemed normal until she saw the swallow hunting flies, and a swoop took it behind the stones. Her eyes followed the swoop, but the swallow was late. There was a moment when it should have appeared, and it didn't. Then it passed across the gap, and for a moment was on both sides of the other stone at the same time. Look for a place where the time doesn't fit.
The world seen through that gap, she said, is at least 1 second behind the time here. I know this is the entrance.
There was some whooping and clapping from the Nec-Mac-Feagle, and they surged across the turf towards her.
It was smashing, said Daft Willie. The way you spotted them sweeties and didn't let on.
The rest of the pixies stopped cheering and glared at him. Tiffany sagged.
You all knew that was the way through, didn't you?
Oh, aye, said Rob Anybody.
Now show us.
Tiffany walked through the arch. Nothing happened. The Nutmegfeagle watched her solemnly.
OK, she thought. I'm still being fooled, aren't I?
She stood in front of the stones, stretched out her hand on either side and shut her eyes. Very slowly she stepped forward. Something crunched under her boots, but she didn't open her eyes until she couldn't feel the stones anymore. When she did open them, it was a black and white landscape.
Aye, she's got first sight, sure enough, said William's voice behind her,
as she stared into the world of the Queen.
She's seeing what's really there.
Snow stretched away under a dirty white sky. On the snow, hoofprints led towards a forest of black trees bowed with snow. The Nutmegfeagle poured through the gate, waist deep in the snow. They spread out without speaking. Some of them had drawn their swords.
Where are we? Said Tiffany.
This, said Rob Anybody, is what you call Fairyland.
No, it's not. I've seen pictures. Fairyland is all trees and flowers and sunshine.
Incoming!
Yelled Daft Willy. Tiffany saw a line of black dots in the distance.
It's the black dogs! Dozens of them!
We'll never outrun the dogs, cried Tiffany. Where's my frying pan?
A pixie held it up and she grabbed it.
No need for that, said Rob Anybody. We got the Gonagall with us this time. You might like to stick your fingers in your ears, though.
The dogs were much closer now. Tiffany could see the razor teeth and the burning eyes. As she gripped the handle of her pan, William swung the mouse pipes under his arm and blew until the bag bulged. As one, the Nutmegfeagle dropped their swords and put their hands over their ears. William put the mouthpiece to his lips, tapped his foot once or twice, and, as a dog gathered itself to leap at Tiffany, began to play. A lot of things happened at more or less the same time. All Tiffany's teeth started to buzz. The dog in front of her went cross-eyed and, instead of leaping, tumbled forward. The rest of the Grimhounds howled, spun around, and tried to bite their own tails. William took the pipe from his mouth. As one dog, the Grimhounds put their tails between their legs and ran back across the snow.
What happened?
Said Tiffany, touching her teeth to check that they were all still there.
He played the notes of pain, explained Rob Anybody. Ye can hear them because they're pitched so high, but the doggies can. Hurts them in their heads. Now we'd better get moving before the Queen sends something else.
Two pixies carried Tiffany easily. As she skimmed across the snow, the clan running beside her, she got the feeling that things were strange. There was no sun, and you couldn't see where it was in the sky, and something was wrong with the horizon. It looked close enough to touch, which was silly, and things weren't finished, like the trees in the forest they were heading towards. She had a strong feeling that they were blobs and were growing roots and twigs and other details as she got closer. The light grew dimmer as they reached the forest. In between the trees, it became blue and eerie.
Stop!
She said. The pixies lowered her to the ground, and then, all at once, fear gripped her. She was in a strange world being followed by hundreds of little blue thieves and black dogs, monsters in the river, sheep whizzing backwards across fields. The terror took her, but because she was Tiffany, she ran towards it, raising the pan. She had to get through the forest, find the Queen, get her brother, leave this place. Somewhere behind her, voices started to shout. And she woke up. There was no snow, but there was the whiteness of the bedsheet. She stared at it for a while, then leaned down and peered under the bed. Her slippers were the same as they always were, old, comfortable, and with all the pink fluff worn off. She got dressed thoughtfully. When she got downstairs, breakfast was cooking. Her mother was busy at the sink.
I'll make some more butter today,
said Tiffany, sitting down. Her mother nodded and put a plate of porridge before her. Tiffany sighed. And then she woke up and it was all a dream.
It was just about the worst ending you could have to any story. But it had all seemed so real. Suddenly, there was a rattling noise coming from the big oven. Then the door burst open and slid across the floor.
Did he eat the porridge?
Nac MacFeagle spilled out into the room, hundreds of them, pouring across the tiles in a flurry of snow. She looked down at her plate, and a grey blob was staring at her with tiny black eyes. The scream came from somewhere deep inside. Tiffany opened her eyes. She was lying on damp ground in the snowy, gloomy wood. There were pixies everywhere. She turned her head and saw William looking at her with concern.
That was a dream, wasn't it? She said. What was that creature?
That, said William, was what we call a drome. Dromes spin dreams, we are trapping it. If you eat anything in the dream, you'll never want to leave it.
Tiffany stood up.
Where's the frying pan? Thank you. Let's go.
She set off through the strange trees following hoof prints that almost glowed in the gloom. The pixies ran in line with her on either side. It was hard looking at things here without her head aching. Things that seemed far off got closer too quickly. Trees changed shape as she passed them. This is a made-up world, thought Tiffany. Hearing a buzzing overhead, she looked up, and suddenly the air was filling with small people, smaller than a feagle, with wings like dragonflies. Tiffany, entranced, reached out a hand. At the same moment, what felt like the entire clan of Nac MacFeagle landed on her back and sent her sliding into a snowdrift. When she struggled out, the clearing was a battlefield. The pixies were slashing at the flying creatures, which were buzzing around them like wasps. As she stared, two of them dived on to Rob Anybody and lifted him off his feet by his hair. Tiffany leapt up and grabbed him around the waist, flailing at the creatures with her other hand. They let go and dodged easily, zipping through the air as fast as hummingbirds. One of them bit her on the finger before buzzing away. The feagles picked themselves up off the ground.
That isn't too bad, shouted Rob Anybody. No one taken by them.
They assembled into battle order again, although it was pretty disorderly, and set off. Tiffany sucked at her finger.
Why were they trying to carry you away?
Ugh, said Rob.
They carry their victims off to their nest, where their young ones...
Stop!
Said Tiffany.
This is going to be horrible, right?
Rob grinned.
Och, aye, gruesome.
And you used to live here?
Ah, but it wasn't so bad then. The Queen wasn't as cold in them days. The King was still around.
What happened? Did the King die?
No, they had words. Magical words. Forests destroyed, mountains exploding, that kind of thing. And he went off to his own world. Now there's the dromes and the hounds, and the whole of Fairyland has gone down the lavy.
There was the thud of hoofbeats in the distance. The Nac MacFeagle leapt behind the trees.
Come away out the path,
hissed Rob Anybody. A stag appeared through the trees, steam pouring off it. It stared at Tiffany with wild red eyes, and then, bunching up, leaped over her. And here came the dogs. The first one she caught with the edge of the pan, bowling it over. The other turned to snap at her, then looked down in amazement as pixies erupted from the snow under each paw. It was hard to bite anyone when all four of your feet were moving away in different directions. Tiffany looked up at a white horse. There was a boy on it.
Who are you?
He said.
Who are you? Said Tiffany. This is my forest, said the boy. I command you to do what I say.
Tiffany peered at him.
Your name's Roland, isn't it? You're the Baron's son. I demand that you stop talking.
The boy raised his hand with a riding whip in it. There was a very faint thwap. The Nac MacFeagle had formed a pile under the horse's belly, and one of them, climbing up on their shoulders, had just cut through the saddle girth. The boy swiveled around the horse and landed in the snow.
Your name is Roland, said Tiffany. You're the Baron's son. They said you died in the forest.
But the boy was running back through the forest, shouting,
Get away from me!
Tiffany ran after him, jumping over snow-covered logs.
He paused and looked back.
She ran up to him saying, "I know how to get you out!"
and danced. She was holding the hand of someone with the head of a parrot. They twirled around, and this time her hand was caught by someone with the head of a peacock. She glanced over his shoulder and saw that she was in a ballroom full of masked people, dancing. "Ah," she thought, "another dream, and somewhere in here is the drome." People in brilliant costumes and masks walked arm in arm past her, heading for the long tables at one side of the hall, which were piled with food. Tiffany was, for a moment, tempted. It seemed a very long time since she had eaten anything, but the food was obviously bait. There was a rustling in the greenery, and Rob Anybody's face poked out.
"Psst," he whispered. "Dinna eat the canopies. It's a cunning old drome you're dealing with here. Have you spotted it yet?" "No, it's so crowded." "We'll help you look," said Rob Anybody, as the others scrambled out. "Spread out, lads, and pretend you're enjoying the ceilidh."
Tiffany stared at the crowd, and it was then she saw Roland. He was sitting at a table by himself. It was spread with food, and he had a spoon in his hand. She ran over and knocked it onto the floor.
"Haven't you got any sense at all? Do you want to stay here forever?"
Fwa-fwa-fwaf,
muttered the boy. And then she felt the movement behind her. She glanced around, and there was the drome. It was almost hidden behind a pillar. It started moving towards her, but very slowly, trying to stay in the shadows. It looked like a little snowman made of dirty snow. The music was getting louder, the candles were getting brighter. Out on the huge dance floor, the animal-headed couples whirled faster and faster, and the floor shook. The dream was in trouble. The Nacmacfeagle were running to her from every part of the floor. The drome was lurching towards her, podgy white fingers grasping the air.
"First sight," breathed Tiffany.
She cut Roland's head off. The snow had melted all across the clearing, and the trees looked real and properly tree-like. In front of Tiffany, the drome fell backwards. She was holding the old frying pan in her hand, but it had cut beautifully. Odd things, dreams. She turned and faced Roland, who was staring at her with a face so pale he might as well have been a drome.
"It was frightened," she said. "It wanted me to attack you instead. It tried to look like you and made you look like a drome, but it didn't know how to speak. You do."
"You might have killed me," he said.
"No," said Tiffany. "I just explained. Please don't run away. Have you seen a baby boy here?"
"What?"
he said.
"The Queen took him," said Tiffany. "I'm going to fetch him home. I'll take you too, if you like."
"You'll never get away," whispered Roland.
"I got in, didn't I?"
"Getting in is easy. No one gets out."
"I mean to find a way," said Tiffany.
"She won't let you."
Roland started to back away again.
"Please don't be so stupid," said Tiffany. "I'm going to find the Queen and get my brother back, whatever you say. Understand?"
"I don't trust you. You're probably just another dream."
He turned his back and walked away, following the line of the hoofprints. Tiffany hesitated. The only other real person was going away, leaving her here with nothing but the trees and the shadows. The track led uphill a little into what looked like a much thicker mist. She headed for it. There was no other way to go. When she reached the top of the rise, she looked down into a shallow valley. There were four drones in it sitting in a square, each one with a gold collar around its neck, attached to a chain. Tiffany walked slowly down the slope, across the snow, through the mist, and into summer. The heat struck like a blow lamp. She was in reeds, they looked like, much taller than her, with sunflowers growing in them. Except the sunflowers were daisies, and these weren't giant reeds around her. They were blades of grass, and she was very, very small. She was in the fairyland picture. And the picture was the dream, or the dream was the picture. With some effort, Tiffany pushed her way between the blades of grass. On a flat rock, a man was cracking nuts half as big as he was with a two-handed hammer. He was being watched by a crowd of people. Some of the men were taller than her, but others were tiny. Some of them had faces that you wouldn't look at twice. Others had faces that no one would want to look at even once. This is a dream, after all, Tiffany told herself. She stepped out into the bright, stiflingly hot clearing just as the man raised his hammer again and said,
"Is there a queen around here?"
The man wiped his forehead and nodded towards the other side of the clearing.
"Her Majesty has gone to her bower, Miss Tiffany."
Don't ask how he knows your name, Tiffany told herself as she walked off, ducking under a leaf.
"Psst," said a voice.
Tiffany turned towards a clump of daisies twice the height of a man. The stems parted and the boy Roland darted out and joined her.
"I'm looking for my brother," said Tiffany. "The horrible child who screams for sweeties all the time?"
"Yes."
"And threatens to go to the toilet if he's left alone?"
"Yes. Where is he?"
"Are you sure you can get out of here?" said Roland.
"Of course,"
lied Tiffany.
"And you can take me with you?"
"Yes."
Well, she hoped so.
"All right. I ought to get back before my father worries too much."
Tiffany felt the second thoughts starting.
"How long," she said, "have you been here?"
"Well, the light doesn't really change much," said the boy. "It feels like, hours, maybe a day."
Tiffany tried hard not to let her face give anything away.
"It's been nearly a year. Your father's been very miserable. How..."
"Well, there was this fine lady on a horse with bells all over its harness, and she galloped past me when I was out hunting, and she was laughing, so, of course, I spurred my horse and chased after her, and..."
He fell silent.
"You'd better start at the beginning," said Tiffany. "It was great at first," said Roland. "She fed me sweets, and then she told me to sing and dance and skip and play. She said that's what children were supposed to do."
"Strange," said Tiffany.
"Oh, and I've seen through the doorways to one or two worlds. Sometimes the Queen sends out robbing parties if a door opens into an interesting world. This place is like a pirate ship. They wouldn't let me out, though."
"Who do you mean by they?"
asked Tiffany.
"The people out there?"
"Those," said Roland.
"Most of them aren't even real. I mean the elves, the fairies. That's who she's queen of, didn't you know?"
"I thought they were small."
"They can be any size they like," said Roland. "They're not exactly real. They're like dreams of themselves. They can be as thin as air or solid as a rock, Sneebs says."
"Sneebs?" said Tiffany.
"Oh, a little man that just says Sneebs, but real words turn up in your head. Now, the one thing you mustn't do is make the Queen angry. I've seen what happens to people who make her angry. She sets the bumblebee women on them. They're vicious. Oh, and dreams are real here. When you're inside them, you're not exactly here."
"This doesn't feel real," said Tiffany to herself. "This feels like a dream."
And, she decided, "I don't want to know anything more about it. I just want to get my brother and go home while I'm still angry."
Tiffany stood up and picked up the frying pan.
"I'm going to see the Queen."
101 is sweetie.
Tiffany's head shot around like a weathercock in a tornado. She ran along the path and burst through a clump of grass into a space lined with daisies. Wentworth was sitting on a large flat stone surrounded by sweets, howling. He only stopped crying when it was time either to breathe in or die.
Tiffany knew what the problem was immediately. Her brother was suffering from sweet deprivation. Yes, he was surrounded by sweets, but the moment he took any sweet, that meant he wasn't taking all the rest. And there were so many sweets he'd never be able to eat them all. It was too much to cope with. At home, the solution was to put a bucket over his head until he calmed down and take almost all the sweets away. He could deal with a few handfuls at a time. Tiffany dropped the pan and swept him up in her arms.
"It's Tiffy," she whispered, "and we're going home."
And this is where I meet the Queen, she thought. But there was no one there. That's because I'm behind you, said the voice of the Queen in her ear. Tiffany turned around quickly. There was no one there. Still behind you, said the Queen. This is my world, child. You'll never be as fast as me. Why are you trying to take my boy away?
He isn't yours, said Tiffany. He's ours.
You never loved him. You have a heart like a little snowball. I can see it.
But you stole him.
Stole? You mean you thought you owned him? Tiffany's second thoughts said, She's finding your weaknesses. Don't listen to her. Ah, said the Queen. You have second thoughts. I expect you think that makes you very witchy, do you?
Why won't you let me see you? Said Tiffany. Are you frightened?
Of something like you, said the voice of the Queen. And there she was. She was much taller than Tiffany. Her hair was long and black, her face pale, her lips cherry red, her dress black and white and red. And it was all very slightly wrong. Tiffany's second thoughts said, No one real is as perfect as that.
That's not you, said Tiffany with absolute certainty. That's just your dream of you.
The Queen's smile disappeared for a moment and came back all edgy.
You stole my brother, said Tiffany, holding Wentworth tightly. Who'll speak up for you?
Speak up for me, said the Queen.
There isn't anyone, is there? Is there anyone you've been kind to? Anyone who'll say you're not just a thief and a bully?
The Queen ran forward and slapped her much harder than a dream should be able to. Tiffany landed in the moss and Wentworth rolled away, yelling,
Wanna go a toilet?
Tiffany's third thoughts said, She doesn't know you can have third thoughts, and your hand is only a few inches from the frying pan, and things like her hate iron, don't they? Tiffany jumped up, grabbed the pan and swung it. It hit the tall figure only a glancing blow, but the Queen wavered like air over a hot road. On the other side of the clearing, where the nutcracking man had been at work, was the last nut, half as high as Tiffany, and it was rocking gently. Tiffany turned and whispered to Roland,
Crack the nut! Don't worry about what I do! Crack the nut!
The boy looked at her blankly.
What did you say to him?
Snapped the Queen.
I said goodbye,
said Tiffany, holding on tightly to her brother. Would you like to beg for mercy now? Said the Queen. You may not be able to later.
No, said Tiffany. I don't think I will.
The Queen leaned down. Her grey eyes filled Tiffany's world.
Crack the nut, said Tiffany.
For a moment, the Queen looked puzzled. She wasn't good at dealing with sudden changes.
What? Eh? Oh, right,
muttered Roland, running towards the hammer man. Tiffany stared at the woman's face. The eyes were grey now, but the pupils were like silver mirrors. I know what you are, said her third thoughts. You're something that's never learned anything. You don't know anything about people. You're just a child that's got old. There was a shout behind her. She twisted in the Queen's grip and saw Roland fighting for the hammer. As she watched, he raised it over his head. The Queen pulled her around savagely as the hammer fell.
Crevins!
Came a cry.
It's the Queen! And she's got oor killed her, the old toffer!
And the Nec MacFeagle poured out of the smashed nut, all in fighting mood. The clearing cleared. Real or dreams, the people could see trouble when it rolled towards them in a roaring, cursing, red and blue tide. There was method in the way the Nec MacFeagle fought. They always chose the biggest opponent because, as Rob Anybody said later,
it makes them easier to hit, you can.
And they simply didn't stop. It was that which wore people down. It was like being attacked by wasps with fists. It took them a little while to realise that they'd run out of people to fight.